KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Pacific Heights.
I'm from Milpitas.
Union City.
Mission Bay.
I do not know where I'm from.
Bernal Heights.
And I'm from the Sunset.
Coming up, we're considering the health issues of communities closest to Bay Area oil refineries.
I can count my finger, like we have five people diagnosed with cancer right now.
We'll look into a groundbreaking proposal to cap greenhouse gas emissions.
What we're fighting for with the refinery cap is a different issue. It's about limiting the pollution that impacts the immediate surrounding community.
And hear why some refinery workers and air district staff think this regulation is the wrong way to go.
If there's local caps, they can't go above them caps, you just choke a business out.
Health in refinery towns. That's today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. No community in the state, or possibly even in the country, has ever specifically limited greenhouse gas emissions at local oil refineries before. That might change next month, when the Bay Area Air District takes an historic vote. It's looking at our region's oil refineries and considering a cap on greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants from the oil industry. Community groups have advocated for more restrictions for years. They're worried about the health of people closest to the refineries. But some people, including refinery workers and air district staff, think this regulation is the wrong way to go. For today's show, we're going to take a deep dive into this issue. KALW's health reporter Marissa Ortega-Welch leads the way.
This is a policy story that's really about people. But you might not know that from the title of the workshop I'm about to go into. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District Informational Workshop on Regulation 12, Rule 16. Sounds pretty wonky, right? But outside the meeting, it sounds more like a protest.
When their communities are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
The people gathered outside today have been coming to meetings like this for a long time. They know that the policy being discussed inside could have a real effect on their lives.
Yeah, we've been at this for how many years now?
4 years.
Four or five years. And now who remembers the 2012 Chevron fire?
That fire 5 years ago at the Chevron refinery sent 15,000 Richmond residents to the hospital. Groups like Communities for a Better Environment and Asian Pacific Environmental Network, which were already pushing for regulations on the refinery, really doubled down after the fire.
The reason why we're here is because oil is not sustainable for our future.
Under discussion today, a proposed cap on greenhouse gases and other pollutants coming from the five Bay Area refineries. This cap, if passed, could essentially freeze local refineries at their current levels of production. They wouldn't be able to refine more oil than they do now without radically changing their infrastructure to process more cleanly. Community groups say we need this cap to keep the pollution that refineries create from getting worse, pollution that affects the health of people nearby.
So we're going to go in here and we're going to let them know what's on our mind, and we're going to demand refinery caps now. Yeah. Let's go.
Inside, the air district's starting the meeting. You know those spare the air day alerts that encourage you not to drive or use a fireplace? Those come from the air district. It also regulates air pollution coming from industries like refineries, crematories, and landfills. Tonight, the air district is seeking input on this proposed refinery cap before the board votes on it in May. That's pretty basic protocol for draft regulations. But as you can hear from the different people who step up to the mic, it's controversial.
Let me say it as directly as I can. Staff needs to let us help them stand up to the oil industry's pressure. This rule is only about limiting a refinery's future ability to run a viable business.
I pull aside Torm Nompersert, a longtime Laotian community leader who works with the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. He's in his 60s, and he's one of those community organizers who's tried to retire for years, but keeps coming back. Nompersert says a lot of Laotian people came to the East Bay as refugees after the Vietnam War, and many now have health issues.
A lot of people suffering from asthma, and especially the children and elder respiratory problem.
Whenever someone in the Laotian community passes away, Nom Pasert attends the funeral. He says there have been more and more recently.
I go funeral service at least once a week.
He knows many people who have died from cancer.
I can count on my finger, like we have five people diagnosed with cancer right now.
He tells me two friends his age died of cancer last year. But it's also young people, like his niece's grandson.
Who's 17 years old and still in high school. The doctor just diagnosed him have a cancer a couple months ago.
And he lives here in Richmond?
He lives in San Pablo, which is across from the railroad track.
Right across from the Chevron refinery. Like everyone at the meeting, Nom Pasert can't be sure the refinery on its own is causing this cancer. But he doesn't want the industry to pollute more.
Our community needs clean air. And also the workers who work in the refinery need clean air.
A lot of pollutants created by refineries, things like sulfur dioxide and particulate matter, can cause respiratory illness, heart disease, even cancer. That's why Nom Pasert supports the cap. A few days after the meeting, he takes me to the home of family friends. Right before we go in, he points out the refinery's smokestack nearby.
Oh yeah, you can see it right there. See that mountain right there, between the tree right there? That's a chevron, yeah. It's like, what, a quarter mile from here to the stack.
Inside, I meet Sengter Latanasuk. He's 74 and lives in this modest home with his two adult children and three grandchildren. The place is neat but cluttered. The family room walls are covered with the former Laotian flag, a framed copy of Latanasuk's U.S. citizenship certificate, and old photos of soldiers in Laos.
So there's four people in the photo, and it looks like they're standing in the jungle, right?
Nom
Pasert translates for his friend Latanasuk.
That's your wife.
Yeah.
Where was that?
In a jungle. Nearby the China border. And this when they fight resistance to the Lao communist government. So then they left from Laos and then they went to jungle and then formed the resistance.
Latanasuk now walks with a cane. He can't see out of his clouded right eye. After a couple of surgeries, his doctors say there's nothing else they can do. Latanasuk can't tell me his diagnosis because he's only heard it in English. But he does think living so close to the refinery irritates it. Latanasuk says the whole family has health problems.
Especially coughing, sneezing, allergy a lot. My son-in-law is coughing constantly. And my grandson, who also coughing and have asthma, and then also like bloody nose once in a while.
Latanasuk's friend, In Vilengun, is also over at the house today. The two men met as soldiers in Laos and came here as refugees. Vilengun lived and worked for years as the manager of a low-income apartment complex in Richmond, right across from the oil refinery. On the day of the 2012 explosion, he was there.
Yeah, that time around 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm still working in the street, yeah, apartment.
Vilengun's boss called to tell him there was a shelter-in-place warning and he should close all the windows.
And did you see anything?
Well, a fire, big fire and smoke, black smoke. Everybody have to go inside the house. They say close the window, don't open the window. Got a lot of chemical. After that, when we sleep midnight, I get up in the morning and I see all the yellow in the street.
When he woke up the next morning, Vilengun said it looked like yellow snow covering the streets, cars, and bushes. He was coughing and it hurt to breathe. When he went to the hospital, it was packed with people. I had to wonder, for these guys who were resistance fighters in the Laotian jungle, did this yellow chemical dropping out of the sky remind them of their time in war? Everyone's chatting, and Torm Nom Pasert speaks for the group.
Yeah, I think the connection is, even though it's a danger, like the bomb, when airplane come, gonna drop the bomb, everybody know, everybody run and hide, right? But over here, when the chemical, when they release, we cannot run away, we cannot hide, because it's on the sky everywhere, we even don't see. Here, the chemical is everywhere.
It's true. If you live near these refineries, there's not a lot you can do to escape the pollution. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and we're listening to a story from KALW's health reporter Marissa Ortega Welch about a groundbreaking proposal to cap greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants at Bay Area refineries. The cap would be the first time in California that facility emissions are limited at the local level. We've been hearing from Richmond residents, but the cap would have a broader reach. Let's get back to the story. Here's reporter Marissa Ortega Welch. The Bay Area has five refineries. Chevron runs the biggest one in Richmond, but there's also a Phillips 66 refinery just up the shoreline in Rodeo, and two in Martinez, one owned by Tesoro and the other by Shell. And I'm about to see the fifth.
Testing one, two. Hang on one second. One of those.
Andres Soto, an organizer with the group Communities for a Better Environment, gives me a tour of where he lives.
We are in Benicia, going up the hill on East 2nd Street towards the Valero Benicia refinery.
Soto's worked on oil industry regulations for years. He's lived his whole life near refineries. He grew up right next to Chevron.
I went to the public schools there, graduated from Richmond High, where our mascot was the Oilers. And that dates back way to the early 20th century when they were proud of being an oil town.
He moved to Benicia a few years ago.
Right now we're literally probably about 200 yards away from some large stacks.
And so between us and the refinery are trains.
Right. And so the industrial park has a lot of train activity. And of course Valero was trying for close to 4 years to try to get a crude by rail operation here.
Crude by rail. That means moving unprocessed oil in train cars to refineries. We're seeing more and more of this lately. Bay Area refineries usually get crude oil from within California or from Alaska, but those sources are drying up. So now the industry is turning to oil fields like tar sands in Canada and Bakken in North Dakota, shipping oil out to refineries, almost all of which are on the coast. But oil from these places is very flammable.
The center of a small town in the Canadian province of Quebec has been destroyed after a train carrying petroleum products was derailed and then, of course, exploded.
47 people died in that accident, and it sparked protests against crude by rail across the country, including here in the Bay Area.
But I was part of a group that fought and was successful in stopping this project. It would have brought the dangerous explosive Bakken crude and Canadian tar sands crude into the Valero Benicia refinery.
Once it gets here, the processing of tar sands or Bakken emits more greenhouse gases or toxic chemicals than the oil we've processed in California up to this point. That's why community groups like the one Soto's involved in have fought crude by rail and have pushed for this refinery cap. They want to keep these new kinds of oil out of the Bay Area.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Sundberg, and I live in Benicia, California.
I meet up with Sundberg outside a church on the quaint main street of Benicia. She and her husband moved here from Sacramento. They wanted to be closer to her dad, but didn't think they could afford to live in the Bay Area.
I didn't even consider living here because of the refinery. But my father basically talked to me about the fact that, you know, hey, the breeze blows in the other direction. So we looked up the air quality. I mean, we were trying to find a place that we could raise our children.
Sundberg has two kids, a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old.
I have a child who is incredibly chemically sensitive. So we didn't know that when we moved here, but we know it now. Asthma and some other issues.
Now, all of us driving on the freeway emit more greenhouse gases than our five refineries combined. But refineries emit sulfur dioxide.
It turns out that ultimately that turns into particulate matter, which affects asthma.
So she's gotten very involved in local groups, fighting for more regulation of the refinery.
Because we're living, you know, in an area that is going to poison him slowly. Now, I say in an area, I don't mean just Benicia. I mean the tendency that's happening across our country to ignore what the people need, and that is clean air and water.
I bring up Sundberg's concerns and those of the people I met in Richmond with Dan Petticord. He's the director of public health for Contra Costa County, where 4 out of 5 Bay Area refineries are located. I want to know, are these people's health problems caused, at least in part, by living near refineries?
That's a really difficult question to answer, and there are so many different factors.
In a metropolitan area like the one we live in, it's really hard to tease out if someone's asthma or respiratory problems is caused by the refinery they live by, the freeway they drive on, the place they work. There's also genetics. Do they have asthma or cancer in their family history? And there's socioeconomic factors too. How much money they make, whether they have health insurance, if they're exposed to a lot of stress, like from surviving a war.
Your question is, do refineries contribute to what's in the air and what we breathe and what we're exposed to? Yes, of course they do.
The key word there is contribute. Refineries contribute to poor air quality, but they aren't the only source.
But generally, what we're really talking about is sort of your lifetime accumulated exposure. And again, from a public health perspective, our interest is to see you lower those exposures from all different sources.
Lifelong Richmond resident Mike Miller says refineries have already been lowering their emissions.
I remember when I was young, when I was going up to Lake Berryessa and I was on the freeway, and you could smell the refineries. You can drive by them now, you can't smell them. So things continue to get better every day, and that's what we'd like to hope for.
Miller works at the Phillips 66 refinery in Rodeo. He's been there 26 years, and he's the president of United Steelworkers Union Local 326. He's glad refineries are cleaner than they were decades ago, but he is against a hard and fast cap.
If there's local caps, they can't go above them caps, you just choke a business out.
He thinks the industry will just shift production outside of the Bay Area to somewhere with less regulation.
We would not want to see a California refinery close that makes the cleanest fuels in the United States here right now and open up somewhere else.
And then the Bay Area would have to ship in gas.
Then the transportation to get it here, that's even more emissions. So we're just moving the carbon footprint somewhere else.
Even some of the Air District staff oppose the refinery cap. They told me, limiting production could result in higher gas prices, and they're not sure it's legal for the Air District to target only one industry, like the oil companies. So the staff came up with an alternative proposal, which the board will vote on later this year. Instead of hard caps on each facility, their proposal would limit greenhouse gases per barrel of oil. That would require refineries to be more efficient, but they could still increase oil production. But community activists and some Air District board members say that's not enough. Greenhouse gas emissions and pollution need to be capped at current levels.
What we're fighting for with the refinery cap is a different issue. It's about limiting the pollution that impacts the immediate surrounding community.
Oakland City Council member Rebecca Kaplan sits on the Air District Board, which will vote on the refinery cap proposal this May.
The issue of the impacts of refineries on the communities right around them is absolutely a fundamental issue of justice.
Kaplan says California's cap and trade program, which allows industries to increase emissions at one location as long as they decrease emissions somewhere else, is inequitable.
The problem with air pollution is not just what is the average air pollution throughout the state of California, which on any given day might be fine if you average it. The problem is that you have some communities that live right next to heavily polluting facilities, such as oil refineries, and in those communities you see incredibly disproportionate impacts of asthma and other diseases.
Kaplan wants to see the Bay Area take a leadership role. especially considering that the Trump administration has started making efforts to roll back environmental regulations.
And people sometimes talk jokingly about, oh, if only we had Bay Area government. But we do have Bay Area government. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District Board is a Bay Area government with governmental powers to order things done, to issue fines, to spend money, and with legislative authority to act to clean up our air. And so let's do what's in our hands to do.
So what is in our hands? Whatever you think about this regional decision, the Air District wants to hear from you. It is soliciting public comment on the proposed cap on greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants for oil refineries. Bay Area residents can weigh in until May 8th. For Cross Currents, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch.
Learn more about the proposed refinery regulations and how to leave comments for the Air District, go to our website, kalw.org, and click on Cross Currents. Marissa Ortega-Welch wrote this story while participating in the USC Center for Health Journalism's California Fellowship. If you've got health-related stories you'd like to see her report, send her an email at health@kalw.org. That story was edited by Lisa Morehouse and engineered by Ted Muldoon. Today's production team includes Olivia Henry, Angela Johnston, Jeremy Ju, James Rollins, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Carrie Spivak, and Andrew Stelzer. The show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Music is by songwriter Michael McNevin. McNevin will perform at Boathouse Concerts on the shore of Lake Merritt in Oakland on Saturday. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
I could have been like Kerouac, did everything I never thought I'd do. On the road in a beat up Cadillac, or a big old bike and a rose tattoo. More than trouble, I quit the road for you. Traded in for a rocking chair, and my old lover was silver hair.